The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. This is our last week at the 7 a.m. Time slot. In case you've forgotten, next Monday we're going to be going 4 hours later. So keep that in mind as you go about your daily routine or your plans to listen to or to watch the Trumpet Daily. As you know, you can get the live stream at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. You can also submit some email feedback, td@kpcg.fm. So next Monday, 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, 5 p.m. over in the UK, 6 p.m. in Europe, and you can make the adjustments yourself for wherever you happen to live. Just keep in mind that it comes 4 hours later than usual. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Arizona hand recount that's going on. Right now, or I guess they took a little bit of a break yesterday, and they resume this morning. The Democratic Party and the Maricopa County Supervisor Steve Gallardo, they sued to stop this full hand recount, a forensic audit, everything, examine the machines, examine the ballots, examine everything. And so they went to court, the Democrats did, and you might remember Donald Trump, he sent out a tweet, or I guess not a tweet, he's not on Twitter, but he made a statement saying there were something like 70 lawyers, Democrat lawyers, flooding the state of Arizona to try to stop this from going forward. I mean, that in itself tells you something about what happened on November 3rd last year. 70 attorneys. So the Democrats, they decide to go to court to try to stop this from happening, saying that it violates state law, saying that it's a security risk, saying that there's all kinds of hate groups involved in the counting. I'm sure if they haven't already, they'll probably get around to racism. At some point, it'll be racist. To recount is racist. So they went to court Thursday. They tried to stop this. Friday, you might have seen some headlines where the judge said, all right, we'll go ahead and at least delay it until Monday. But the Democrats have to put up a $1 million bond to cover some of the costs. The Republicans have already gone through and rented out an arena. They've got everything in place, and it's all being filmed so that everybody can see it, completely transparent. So this judge says, well, we'll put it off until Monday, but you've got to put up the $1 million bond. The Democrats wouldn't do this or couldn't do this. I find it hard to believe that they couldn't, but they didn't. And so the judge said, all right, you can go ahead and start counting then. And that began on Friday. It continued through Saturday. And then, as I say, they took a break yesterday, and we'll pick it up again this morning. So here's what the Republican chairwoman, her name is Kelly Ward. This is what she had to say over the weekend about the hand recount, clip 9.
So we are going to do a full hand count of 2.1 million ballots. It's not just a rerun these ballots through the same machines and see if it comes out the same. It is a hand count. We're also going to be looking at the digitally adjudicated ballots. The ballots that wouldn't run through the machine. So a team of two county workers looked at them and decided what the voter's intent actually was. We'll be looking at the machines, the software, the hardware, the logs. We're going to be looking at everything.
We're going to be looking at everything, she said. This is from a local report out of Phoenix. It says the audit's being conducted at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum on the state fairgrounds. All of Maricopa County's 2.1 million ballots, cast in the election will be recounted by hand. So this hasn't been done. Those that would say, well, there's been recounts already, and they all say the same thing, that Biden won. He won the state that Donald Trump won in 2016, incredibly, by something like 10,000, 11,000 votes. They say, why recount it again? Well, there hasn't been a hand recount. They haven't checked it like this. They haven't examined everything. It's one thing to just take the stack, run it through the machines again, and say, yep, same. We've got the same count. But now they're examining each ballot. And the Democrats are fighting this every step of the way. They don't want to see it happen. It says here, we're going to have a 24-hour monitor. We're going to make it a live stream. We want the public to see every step of where these ballots go. We will have a police escort from our elections department all the way to the Coliseum, says Steve Gallardo, a Maricopa County supervisor. It says the Coliseum is booked for the audit from April 19th until May 14th, but Senate Republicans estimate it will be 2 to 3 months before the audit is completed. 2 to 3 months? I mean, that's a long time. That takes us right into the summer. But if you've seen some of the footage coming out of this arena, I mean, they are actually going through one ballot at a time and passing it down the line to see if there was any funny business. And so this, as I say, it's triggering quite a hostile reaction, not only from Democrats, but from their allies in the news media, the propaganda media. The AP headline, it says here, election conspiracies live on with audit by Arizona GOP, the Arizona Republicans. And so because they're counting it by hand, this is a conspiracy. How a hand recount is a conspiracy, one will never know. But that's what they're saying. It's a conspiracy. It says here, months after former President Donald Trump's election defeat, legislative Republicans in Arizona are challenging the outcome as they embark on an unprecedented effort to audit the results in the state's most populous county. It says the process is alarming election professionals who fear the auditors are not up to the complex task and will severely undermine faith in democracy. So the experts have a real problem with this. You mean you're actually going to have people from both sides looking at this and making sure there was no cheating? I don't know if you're qualified for that, so say the experts. That's coming from the Associated Press. Listen to Rachel Maddow. She's over at MSNBC. This was from her program on Friday night. She's obviously against the hand recount, and this is from her show just a couple nights ago, clip 10.
It is obviously strange. It's laughable in lots of ways. But the president, former President Trump, put out a statement today lauding this and talking about how this was going to reveal the truth of the 2020 election and citing a whole bunch of other states that are also going to now do this to reveal the truth of the 2020 election. And he's still maintaining this fantasy that he somehow won and that Joe Biden isn't really the president anymore. He's not the legitimate president. What the Arizona Republicans are doing here, this process by which they are bastardizing the actual secure election from November 2020, and they're going to produce some result that says that it was some other fraudulent thing, will be used by the Trump part of the Republican Party and the Trump right to cast doubt on the 2020 election among their most fervent supporters in a way that none of their failed lawsuits in the past have been able to do. They got the actual ballots and they handed them to conspiracy theorists who say that, you know, QAnon is the mastermind or whatever it is that stopped this, that they need to use to stop the steal and all. I mean, the craziest parts of the pro-Trump conspiracy theory world have the actual ballots and are going to declare that something different happened in the election in Arizona than what really happened. This is a ridiculous story that will become very dangerous.
This is dangerous, you see, very dangerous. The conspiracy theorists, the hate groups, the racists, they got the ballots. They're going to be counting the ballots. You see where they're going with this. They're preparing their audience for findings that could go against what was revealed to the world on Fox News, as it happens. What was it, 10 or 11 at night, November the 3rd? When the percentages were just like neck and neck, out comes Fox News and says, yeah, Arizona, the Biden camp, it's in the bag for Biden. They announced that right away. And then all the networks followed suit. And we had that crazy night, that circus of an election night. So now a full forensic audit, all the ballots, all the machines, all the equipment. It's going to take months even, and we'll see what comes from it. There was a breaking news piece last night. I guess this judge has now recused himself from the case. He's probably coming under intense pressure. These Democrats are looking for anything in his past or any connections to Republicans to try to get him out of the way. It'll be interesting to see who replaces him today as the fight in court continues. The Republicans, by the way, they've filed a countersuit saying that the court doesn't have the authority to get in there and to stop what is going forward by the Arizona legislature. They're the ones that decide if there's going to be a recount, a full recount or not, a hand recount in this case. And so the fight continues in court, and the Democrats are no doubt forum shopping, trying to find a judge that will carry out their plans, which is to prevent this from happening. Just imagine it, if the person is innocent, is he going to behave in this fashion? If the previous recounts were valid, then why should they worry about another one? It'll just prove what's been proven before. It's been recounted already. We can't do it again. Well, then let's do it again, and it'll be the same result, right? No, they know that this one's for real. They know that this one, it is going to look at each ballot, quite unlike any of the other recounts in Arizona, in Georgia as well. Same thing. And so you get some of these Republican officials, they're coming on trying to defend what they're doing, and they come under attack from these propaganda media types. They come under attack. It's as if they're, again, trying to prevent people from voting just by getting in there and cleaning up voter rolls or reinforcing some of the election integrity laws that were in place before they used COVID as a pretext to cheat, to steal. Here's a Republican. He's also from Arizona, and he's on, I think it's with CNN, and he's explaining, you know, the process of cleaning up some of the voter rolls. And listen to how the reporter goes after him. This is clip one.
Can we use neutral names? They're being removed after multiple checks to make sure that they actually aren't there. They're not being purged.
That is how you describe it, sir. And we do appreciate you coming.
I'm not spinning it. So that's why I'm doing the truth. I'm not doing spin.
I'm not spinning it either. Arizona
purge? What am I, Stalin? Come on, don't be ridiculous. This is why we can't have reasonable discussions across the political divide. Because everybody wants to throw gasoline on what should be a critical intellectual discussion.
Sir, you're not being honest.
So there she is. I didn't get to the part before that clip started where she accused him of purging people from off the voter rolls. And then he explained, look, we've sent them notices, we've emailed, we've called, we've tried to get a hold of them. They're obviously gone, they've died, or they've moved to another state. So we're just taking them off the roll. It's a safety valve that's in place to keep people from cheating, to keep people from using those names with a fake ballot. It happened all over the place on November the 3rd. And, you know, these are Democrats, by the way, who previously, they were all about election integrity right up until October and November of last year. Real Clear Investigations, they had a study. The absentee vote logic of the New York Times. And basically, this author at Real Clear, he went back through the New York Times archive, and found out how often they've pointed out that, well, when you have absentee ballots on this level, it really does open things up for a lot of fraud, a lot of cheating. I won't take the time to go through all the examples, but he goes back to 2011, 2012, and he's just quoting from the New York Times all the way through. And then we get to 2020, and what did we hear them say throughout the year? There's got to be mass mail-in votes, tens of millions of them. Tens of millions of absentee ballots. And everybody who knew anything about voting integrity knew before 2020 that this just opened the way to widespread fraud, widespread cheating. and it happened, and yet we're supposed to play along like everything was just perfect. Notice how, as we've been hearing for the past many months, everything is broken. The system is broken. The system of justice is broken. But the election of 2020, now that was perfect. That worked fine. And then what else worked? Well, what the experts say about COVID, even though it continues to contradict everything they said 2 seconds ago. That's perfect. Election 2020, perfect. And everything else is broken. And so we need to burn down the cities because of it. Does this make sense to you? This is the world in which we're living. This is the upside down world. Isaiah chapter 5. Listen to Sky News Australia. You have to go to Australia to find out about the massive protest in London on Saturday against lockdown, because the London press, the UK press, they just ignore it. They pretend it didn't happen. Well, that doesn't fit with the narrative we're trying to promote. We don't want people to see that there's tens of thousands of people taking to the streets in London. They're fed up with the lockdown. Here's Sky News Australia, clip 8.
The fight back has begun against lockdown lunacy. Have a look. Here are some shots from London, Rita.
Amazing shots. Yes, massive crowds, peaceful, which is lovely to see. And they are wanting their freedoms reinstated. They want to be able to see their family, hold funerals where numbers aren't limited and people aren't socially distanced, and get businesses back operating at full capacity, particularly given how well they've gone with their vaccine rollout. So the masses were out today, and there is a fight back.
Tens of millions have gotten the vaccine in the UK. The lockdowns continue, and you see all these people taking to the streets, and Sky News Australia saying, yeah, they're fighting back for their freedoms. Okay, everybody's gotten the disease, everybody's gotten the jab, and we're still locked down? I think we're at 400 days now. We're coming up to 400, or we maybe just passed it. 400 days to flatten the curve. The Daily Mail had a story about Boris Johnson saying that, and it's based on anonymous sources, Richard was saying, so, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt. But basically, it's saying that he was against the lockdown, but he just came under such intense pressure from some of his close advisors that he went ahead and caved in to the pressure, and people are fed up. People want to get back to normal. They want to reopen their businesses if they aren't closed permanently. This was another one from the Daily Mail recently. It says Britain's coronavirus death rate could be close to zero because a portion of the tiny number of people dying from the disease would have passed away from natural causes anyway. Now, we talked about this on this program a year ago. It says experts claim today as a raft of official data showed the virus is still firmly in retreat. It says the Department of Health's daily death figures includes anyone who, listen to this, anyone who dies of any cause within 28 days of a positive test, meaning patients who succumb to cancer, suffer a heart attack, or get hit by a car within 4 weeks would be counted as a COVID death. How about that? I mean, this is science, right? Science. It's just facts. You get killed in a car accident 27 days after testing positive, that's a COVID death. That's a COVID death. Imagine if they counted vaccine deaths this way. Anyone who dies within 28 days of getting the jab. Well, that's a vaccination death. Why 28 days? Chris Eames was pointing this out earlier. He said that you only go into quarantine for 14 days after testing positive. So why would they extend it even to 28 days when they're counting the deaths? Because they want to up the numbers. That's why. They want to scare you. They want you huddling in the basement. They don't want you taking to the streets unless you're going to smash and burn. But aside from that, stay home. Stay home. And if they do take to the streets like they did on Saturday, well, it's just a blackout. We just pretend it doesn't happen. We don't report on it. We don't want the masses to see what's going on in London. And so you've got to go over to Sky News Australia to get a little bit of fair and balanced reporting. Listen to Dr. Fauci from over the weekend, clip 7.
I think what people should realize that the system worked.
Doesn't that make you feel great? The system worked. As I said, that's the system for COVID-19, that worked perfectly. The election system, no, that's perfect. Everything else, broken. Where would we be without radical leftists telling us what's fixed and working and what's broken? Here you have all these world leaders, Joe Biden leading the way. We've got climate change. We've got to reduce emissions by 50%. We've got to limit our beef intake to just 4 pounds a year. Okay, finally a policy that all of America can get behind. No more beef. That's great. We're all for it. Not really. And, you know, the Telegraph had a piece just today how that they're never satisfied. We made this point last week on a different point. The radicals, they're never satisfied, even after getting 2, 3, 5, 10 victories. And it's the same with climate change. And the Telegraph made the same point today. This is from a new study on, we played those clips last week, remember, I think it was Thursday's program. All of these people from the inner city who are basically convinced that there's a genocide happening in the United States. And of course, everything coming from Democrats and the propaganda media, everything is seen through the lens of race. Here it's a Yale study. It says a Yale study recently found that when Democrats include explicitly race-conscious ideas in their messages, voters are less likely to support them. So voters don't like it. Okay? It says the study done by Micah English and Joshua Kalla wanted to see how racial attitudes shape policy preferences in the era of Black Lives Matter and increasing liberal views on racial issues. It says Yale students tested this by examining the effect of describing an ostensibly race-neutral progressive policy with racial framing as used by Democratic elites on support for that policy. They found that despite leftward shifts in public attitudes towards issues of racial equality, racial framing decreases support for race-neutral progressive policies. So most people tend to lean to the left on social policies, and they tend to lean to the left even with respect to racial equality. But when you keep framing it in the way that the propaganda media are doing it, Americans don't like it. That's what this Yale study finds out or discovers. Listen to this is a representative from Congress. Listen to this clip from over the weekend, clip 2.
I'll say this, almost 1,000 people have been murdered by police, have been killed by police since George Floyd lost his life. Almost 1,000.
1,000 have been murdered since last May. Can you believe this? This woman works in Congress. She's a state representative. And she says 1,000 people have been murdered by police officers. You're barely in single digits. And of course, if you say murder, well, you struggle to find one or two or three cases. Everybody that's shot, no matter what they're doing, they could be firing 10 rounds at the police officer. If the police officer returns fire and shoots someone dead who's doing that, well, you see how the statistic is manipulated. That's a murder. That's a murder. You see how they hyperventilated last Tuesday with that knife-wielding lunatic. And then they come to find out that, no, most of America, they think that woman should be shot. She was about to kill somebody. Here's someone working at Washington, D.C., at Congress, on TV, saying that the police, law enforcement in the United States of America, for the last 11 months, they've killed... They've murdered 1,000 Americans. And judging by some of those clips we played last week, there's people in the inner city convinced that every one of those murders, quote unquote, is a black American. There was an interview on, I think this was the BBC, a refreshing interview to hear. You had this former officer, Brandon Tatum. I think he runs a fairly popular conservative website. But they called him on, or they had him on, BBC last week, to basically discuss the events of the week, the verdict in the Chauvin trial, and so on. And listen to some of what Brandon Tatum had to say. Clip three.
This conviction, in my personal opinion, did nothing for our country. I mean, people are living a lie. I mean, this is one police officer, one person in the community. They found him guilty. This was the swiftest justice I ever seen in my life. The day after the film came out, he was arrested. He was tried. 10 hours of deliberation, he was convicted. I'm not really sure why people are acting like this is monumental. Also, he did not get a fair trial, in my personal opinion. There was a lot of obstruction that had happened. They paid the family out $27 million before the jury could be selected. I mean, they're going to have a case in appeal. So I don't know why people are celebrating, and I don't know why this is such a big focal point, other than people are making money off of the pain of people in our country.
That's Brandon Tatum. He's a former police officer, an African-American, as you can see there, with a very different take. And good for BBC for having him on. There were some comments online suggesting that the BBC didn't know what it was getting into. But whether they knew it or not, here comes this former police officer just dropping one truth bomb after another right there on TV. I'm glad that the British people got to see it. This is clip four.
Policing in America is not inherently racist. We don't live in a racist country. This was an interaction between a police officer that I thought did the wrong thing and a black man who was on drugs, high, resisting arrest, and ended up being killed by that police officer. That's as simple as it can be. The president of the United States got out and made a fool of himself trying to promote racism in a simple police encounter that the officer got convicted on.
A simple police encounter, he says there. With swift justice, convicted of murder and manslaughter. Both of them. And a president, a fake one at that, out there promoting racism. It's a good way to put it. Propaganda media, they're out there promoting racism. They promote it. And here's all of these race hucksters that are out there benefiting or making money off of this message, even as they see their own people, these black commentators, I mean, even as they see their own people and their own communities, in some cases, going up in flames. Listen again to Brandon Tatum on BBC, clip five.
Systemic racism. I mean, if you look at Joe Biden himself, you know, he spoke at a Ku Klux Klan member's funeral and did the eulogy of Robert Byrd. I mean, he is white supremacy and racism, if you want to say that is the case, and now he's the president. So if he really cared about white supremacy and racism, he should step down as the president, because he's an exemplification of that very thing. These people are just running their mouth and they're not being honest. We don't have a problem with racism in our country. We have a problem with people not following the law. We also have a problem with politicians making up things so they can get reelected. And that's exactly what has been happening. That's why you never see anything change. They're lying to us.
Some excellent commentary. You know, you think about all the people that get canceled. It's just someone with conservative leanings. The rules are different for the radical leftists, as he brings out there. What about some of the things that Joe Biden has said or done in his past? What about what LeBron James tweeted out last week? Why are these prominent personalities not canceled? Why are they not deleted from Twitter? Here you have, as he said there, someone who eulogized the death of a former KKK member, and he's now the fake president of the United States. That's no problem. One final clip six.
Twice as many white people go killed by police every year. Twice as many white people are killed unarmed by police every year. You just don't see it. There's a gentleman named Tony Tempa. I guarantee you anybody watching me have no idea who Tony Tempa is. Tony Tempa was murdered in the same fashion that George Floyd was killed. But because he was white, we don't hear about it and nobody cares about it. Nobody's talking about police reform when he was suffocated and killed, but they only talk about it because George Floyd is black. Black people commit over half of violent crimes in this country and only make up 13% of the population. They commit over half of the murders in this country, but only make up 13% of the population. And we can agree that 13% of the population aren't the criminals. There's only a small fraction of the black community that's doing this. So that explains why police are in the black communities more, and that explains why black people are incarcerated more. They are making up lies saying that it has anything to do with racism. Do you understand that there's black police officers, too, that patrol in many of these majority black cities? Are they racist?
That's right. They're all in the majority black cities. There are more African-American police officers than there have ever been. And they're patrolling these parts of the cities because the crime there is high. And so there are incidents. And yet now you have these people like Candace Owens, we played that clip for you last week, who are defending the criminals. The criminals have the upper hand. The criminals are murdering people like never before. But you'd never know it listening to certain congresspeople or to the propaganda media who are there, as he correctly said to the BBC, who are there telling and spreading lies. They do it every day and they get away with it. Good for, as I say, good for the BBC inviting him on as a guest. At the end of last week, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can write us td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
We've been talking recently on the program within our Bible study segments a lot about the law of God upholding the perfect and righteous and holy law, so important, particularly in this day and age, like you just heard in the last segment, that former police officer talking about the problem in America is with people not following the law, not obeying the rules. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, this long chapter, there's so many beautiful verses about God's law, and it reveals a lot, too, about just the way God organizes and structures things. This particular psalm, it's divided into 28 eight verse sections, and each of the sections they follow after, or each verse in the section I should say starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the case of the first eight verses, and then it continues right through the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. I think it's the Old Testament. Yeah, 22 books are in the Hebrew Bible. So these 22 sections, just as I say, gives you some insight into God, who is a God, as 1 Corinthians 14 says, who is a God not of confusion and disorder, but a God of orderliness. He's the one that arranged this book, the Holy Bible, or this psalm. He's the one that inspired it. He says in 2 Timothy that all inspiration, or rather the Bible, is given by inspiration from God, all of it. All the books in the Old Testament, all the books in the New, inspired by God. God breathed, as we stress in our OTS class here at the college. Inspiration from God. Notice how this psalm begins, Psalm 119, verse 1. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the eternal. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Blessed are you. Here is the first few verses, the first eight, starting with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And God says, blessed are you if you observe these laws, if you seek after God's law with your whole heart. That'll bring blessings into your life. It says in the correspondence course, I forget which lesson this is from, but it says, a real Christian will no longer be able to conscientiously follow all the customs and practices of society around him. It says, where he formerly went along with the crowd, thoughtlessly participating in various social activities and business practices, he will now begin to question his lifestyle. He will begin asking, what is God's will? How does God say I should live? He will begin saying with Christ, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he will begin to diligently search the Word of God to learn the will of God and to follow it. This is the way of a true Christian. He not only studies into the will of God, God's law, God's truth, but he follows it as well. He follows the law. He submits to the law. Once we break that apart, or once that breaks down, well, everything comes crashing down. That's the foundation. And so you have these efforts right across the board to try to cover up lawlessness, to cover up the lawlessness that happened on November 3rd, to cover up the lawlessness that we saw all across America over the summer of 2020. I mean, it continues. It continues in Portland, Minneapolis. And people are there to cover it up. Not to cover it, as in to report on it, but to cover it up. And then when it comes under the light of day, the attack, 70 attorneys going to court. We've got to stop this. It's a hate group that's doing the counting. Verse 3, it says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. It says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. It says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. It says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. It says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. See, here is an author, Jeremiah the prophet, just filling up on the law of God, acknowledging that when I'm observing your laws, then I'm blessed, I'm happy, I'm at peace, I'm safe, I'm content. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, you can look at that on your own time. That's where Moses said to the people of Israel, look, if you obey the laws of God, you'll be blessed. Choose blessings. Choose life. Don't choose curses and death. Choose the way of blessings. Verse 8, this is Psalm 119. It says, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He says, I will keep your statutes. So the law is referred to in verse 1, testimonies in verse 2, words or ways in verse 3, precepts in verse 4, statutes, verse 5, commandments, verse 6, and judgments in verse 7. Wow, what an endorsement of God's law, of God's holy and just and perfect law. As it says in Romans 7:12, it's Old Testament and New, but after all. This is from my father's book, The Last Hour. It says, Christ set the example of obeying the Father. If he is coming in our flesh, he does the same in us. So we follow in his example. We've touched on that theme recently as well. 1 Peter 2:21, follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. So how did he live? What example did he set? Well, he prayed, not that my will should be done, but your will, Father. That's how he prayed the night before he was crucified. He made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. And he says, now follow in the steps that I've set before you. That perfect, obedient heart. It says, it's not easy to know and be led by the Spirit of God as we battle our own carnality and our own minds. We must know the Spirit, my father writes. If we have inappropriate thoughts or attitudes toward God's government or toward a decision that has been made, we must know the Spirit. When we watch television or go to a movie or watch sports, we must know the Spirit. We must think as if Christ is sitting right there with us. He talks about, well, everything. When you're dating as a single, married life, whatever you're engaged in, it says, is Jesus Christ really coming in the flesh through you in everything you do? If so, he revolutionizes your life. That's what John is talking about. If Christ is living in your flesh, in your mind, we're going a completely different way than we were before coming into the church, before coming into God's family. Read the first 8 verses of this psalm again. What a wonderful and beautiful endorsement of God's holy law. Verse 9 continues, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. So in this second section, the second section of 8 verses, we're told that it's by God's word that we become clean. It's by his word that we're washed. You can read about that in Ephesians 5 as well, where it talks about the marriage between Christ and the church and how that we're purified. The church is purified and washed and made clean by the word of God, by the truth of God. Notice some other verses. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. Every word is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every single word that comes out of God's mouth. Psalm 19 and verse 7, it says, the law of the eternal is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, it says, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the eternal is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the eternal is clean, it says, enduring forever. The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. Again, that passage in Ephesians speaks of cleansing, being cleansed by the washing of water by the word. That's what this section, this second section in the psalm, is discussing. Verse 10 in Psalm 119, it says, with my whole heart have I sought you. O, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We have to hide these words, so to speak, in our hearts for this purification process to be complete. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. It feels good when we clean up our lives. It feels good to be clean and pure and righteous, to be made right, to be justified before God. That's how we bring joy into our lives. Quite unlike the unhappiness and the pain and the suffering that we see so much of in the world today. Verse 16, it says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Never forget the truth of God. Never forget this precious truth. These pure words. Back up to verse 15, it says, I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. That's how we keep it at the forefront of our thinking. That's how we avoid forgetting these precious truths, by meditating on these ways continually, by putting these ways into practice. We'll pick up our study again on tomorrow's program. I just want to leave a few minutes for some of the feedback that really is beginning to pile up at the back end of my notes. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some listener feedback from you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
A few emails from some of you listeners. This from Canada. It says, you and your production team are doing a wonderful job of exposing and highlighting the immense fraud and lies being committed by the fake administration and the fake media. Keep up the great work. Another one here says, so I had somewhat of an interesting work week. I was assigned to do security detail at a COVID vaccine site. It says, in 1 week, about 4,800 people got the Moderna vaccine. For most of them, it was their second and final shot, so they got the double jab. It says, I had to secure a room where the vials of vaccine were held. The pharmacist joked that the vials held liquid gold, meaning that it was so precious. But I wanted to see how people reacted to getting their final shot. It seemed that they were relieved from fear and were now saved from getting the virus. Some said that they would still wear the mask and had no problem with getting a booster shot if told to do so. And then our listener says, truly, America is under a curse, and God is not going to hear the Israelite nations as they cry out to him during the Great Tribulation. What a joyous time when mankind will not rule over mankind ever again. I thank God when he says there will be no more delay. This one comes from South Florida. It says, it's been a while since we've written you, and as we've been busy listening to The Trumpet Daily, among other things, we just want to thank you and all the staff at KPCG for all of your hard work and dedication to delivering God's message. It says, as we listen to The Daily, it can be difficult to listen to all that is going on in the world, especially here in the U.S. Both of our fathers fought in World War II, and we remember when loyalty to the country meant something. We used to fight for our liberties and stand up to evil, but it seems that the age of courage has passed us by. It is truly sad to see this country in the terrible state that it finds itself in, as it has grown apart from God and has embraced sin. But we feel that the biggest tragedy of today's events is that there isn't anyone who asks what God thinks. God's never brought into any conversation. Nobody ever considers what God's law or His word says. In generations past, we used to pray and ask God for deliverance, to seek Him, especially during times of war and trial. No longer does the nation consider reasoning with God. It's quite evident that the country wants God to stay out of their business and choose instead to lean on their own understanding in how a society should be. It says, thank you for your Bible studies at the end of each show. They're very inspiring and hope-filled as we continue to grind in a very dark world. Keep up the good work. This one here comes from the UK. It says, I follow your commentaries in regard to the latest development in the USA with great interest. You're very right in saying that the radicals will never be satisfied. This is made clear in the Old Testament. There is no peace, says the Eternal, for the wicked. That's Isaiah 48:22. And it's repeated, he says, in Isaiah 57 and verse 21. It says, as for taking the knee and similar peace offers, it is written, their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears, that will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. That's from Psalm 58. Another email here says, my wife and I very much appreciate the Trumpet Daily program. We regularly watch it over the evening meal, although some of the clips you play don't exactly help the appetite. Sorry about that. Don't stop playing them, though. The benefit far outweighs the downside. It's really sad to see our nation fall apart the way they are. It's also shocking at how fast that's happening. We're extremely thankful for your programs and everything the PCG is doing to keep people informed. It says here, this is another one from the UK, this week's news has been overwhelming and sad, overwhelmingly sad, with false justice and sickness. There's no doubt we're definitely in the last days. It says here, thank you for your hard work and all of the workers behind the scenes to bring us the real news and Bible teachings. Another one here says, it's becoming almost impossible to cope with what is happening in our country today, allowing riots and looting, teaching our youth to hate each other and our country, efforts to eliminate any conservative thinking or writing, efforts to destroy law and order, elected politicians like Maxine Waters calling for more hostility to demand results the left wants. Just frightening and totally depressing, it says. I pray to God every night that He is our only hope to save humanity and to send Jesus to take charge of this mess our world is in. Yes, indeed, that's right there early on in the prayer outline. Matthew 6, Luke 11, Thy kingdom come. We ought to be praying all the more earnestly, Thy kingdom come. Looking at this world today, it should be easy to pray, Thy kingdom come. Another one here says, the Bible says to love your enemies. It's actually a very deep and difficult subject to understand how to do properly. Just because God says this does not mean He wants someone to have enemies and to not desire to have friends and allies, for example, but that can be misunderstood by simply hearing, love your enemies. It says, I know I used to have a hard time putting the comments, reduce your standard of living, regularly quoted by the church in its proper context in my own life. Love your enemies can be a hard one too. It takes a lot of growth to understand what this means and how to do it right. Another one here comes from the UK. We've got quite a few responding from the UK. It says, thanks for the broadcast, the place where the truth of God and the word of God is revealed. It says, the televised daily show, literature, and the trumpet brief, and more. I'm drawn closer to God's word and the spiritual family that beckons us. I find an inner glow inside me, happiness that Jesus Christ's return is near. It says, the thousand-year peace followed by 100 years of the great white throne judgment. What a wonderful vision. Keep the great work going on. Well, we'll wrap it up with that. And thank you for tuning in yet again. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email us, td@kpcg.fm. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.